الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله there are additional points concerning the verses which we have covered from 62 till 67, and I want to emphasize these because they are very very important. Concerning the verse 62, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, those who believed and those Jews and the Christians and the Sabians who believed in Allah, whoever believes in Allah and the last day and do righteous good deeds, shall have their reward with their Lord. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, shall have their reward with their Lord, on them shall be no fear nor shall they grieve. The Jews are the followers of Musa alayhi salam, and they were described by this title al-Yahud, لأنهم قالوا, because they said إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ, إِنَّا هُدْنَا إِلَيْكَ, meaning رَجَعْنَا إِلَيْكَ, we return to you. هُدْنَا, from هُدْنَا came the title Yahud. And al-Nasara are the followers of Isa ibn Maryam, the followers of Isa, Jesus son of Mary alayhi salam. And they are called Nasara either due to, in reference to the town known as Al-Nasira in Palestine, or it is derived, or it could be due to being derived from Al-Nusra. Because Al-Nusra, which means help, as Allah said in 3:52, Man Ansari ilallah, قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله. Then when Isa, Jesus, came to know of their disbelief, he said, who will be my helpers in Allah's cause? من أنصاري إلى الله, my helpers in Allah's cause. الحواريون, قال الحواريون, they said, we are the disciples, they said, we are the helpers of Allah. نحن أنصار الله, أنصار الله, we believe in Allah and bear witness that we are Muslims, we submit to Allah. And furthermore, concerning the Sabi'ah Syrians, we covered their situation last time, and it is said that these are people who have or who had a specific religion, and it is said that those who didn't have a specific one, and some they said that they are a group from the Christians, some of them said that they are a group of the Jews, and some refer to them as group of the Magians, and some, as I said, that they have no particular religion, meaning those who were on the natural inclination. And this is the closest opinion, such that if Allah sends to them the messengers and believe in Allah on the last day, then they will have no fear and shall not grieve, like the others who were mentioned in the same verse. Now, there comes the question, and this is where I wanted also to emphasize. those who were from the Jews and the Christians and the Sabians, they will receive the reward of security from fear and no grief if they believe, as in the statement of Allah in this verse, if they believe in Allah and the last day. So this restriction concerning them is highly asserted. As to the believers of this ummah, they are entitled to this description, that they are believers. But in the other, with the other here, the Jews, the Christians and the Sabians, if they believe in Allah and the last day, that is because those who remained on Judaism, Christianity and Sabianism after the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not on the truth. And they don't deserve the title that they are believers in Allah and in the last day. Because had they really been true believers in Allah and the last day, then they should follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom Allah described in their books, as Allah said in 7:157 in Surah Al-A'raf, الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet, who can neither read nor write, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom they find written with them in the Torah and in the Injil, the Gospel, he commands them for all that is good, and on top of that is Tawheed, and forbids them from all the munkar, all evil in all of its forms, and on top of that is shirk. He allows them as lawful, the tayyibat, the good and lawful, all good, and regards things as regards to things, deeds, beliefs, persons, all of that, to the end of the verse. And then he forbids them all that which is evil. He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the one whom they knew as they knew their children. And they, the Jews, knew of his coming, and that they told, and that's why they told the pagan Arabs of his coming. But when he came, they disdained. They belied. They disbelieved. So therefore, the Jews, the Christians, and the Sabians, after the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is incorrect and untrue to describe them as believers in Allah and in the last day and being righteous, except if they follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر, the one who believes in Allah and in the last day, and the belief in Allah comprises the belief in his existence, in his lordship, in his divinity, in his unique names and attributes. So anyone who denies Allah is not a believer. And anyone who does not single him in his lordship is not a believer. And anyone who doesn't single him in his divinity, then is not a believer. And anyone who does not single him in his names and attributes being unique and perfect, affirming them as they came in the book and in the sunnah, without distortion, nor negation, nor setting a manner, nor resemblance or likeness to anything, then he is not a believer. And therefore, the belief in Allah comprises four matters. Belief in His existence, in Him as the only true Lord, in Him as the only true God, and in Him being qualified with all the superlative names and attributes uniquely and perfectly. And from this we know the perfect justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take for example the Jews. When they established their Sharia at the time of Musa, they were described then as believers and doing righteous deeds. And their reward was complete. Similarly, the Christians and similarly the Sabians. However, when their religion became abrogated, then it is the duty upon them to move and leave the abrogated religion to the religion which is the abrogator. And that's why the Jews are considered kuffar, disbelievers, with respect to the children, with respect to the Christians, meaning they disbelieved in Jesus alayhi salam, in Isa, the son of Mary. That's why they are considered disbelievers vis-a-vis the Christians, or in relation to the Christians, because they didn't believe in Jesus alayhi salam. And the religion of Jesus alayhi salam abrogated their religion, but they didn't want to admit to that. Similarly, the Christians are considered kuffar in respect to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one who does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is even kafir in respect to his messenger. Because all the messengers were given the glad tidings of the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us look at that in Surah Al-Shu'ara 26, 192, 197. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين وإنه لفي زبر الأولين أولم يكن لهم آية أن يعلمه علماء بني إسرائيل. And truly this the Quran is a revelation from the Lord of Al-Alameen, mankind, jinns and all that exist, which be trustworthy Gabriel has brought down upon your heart, O Muhammad, that you may be one of the warners in the plain Arabic language. And verily, if the Quran is announced in the scriptures, meaning the Torah and the Injil, of former people, is not, you know, the Quran and its revelation to the Prophet, meaning, is it not a sign to them that they learn the scholars of the children of Israel, I mean, knew it as true? Like for example Abdullah bin Salam, who was a Jew and accepted Islam because he knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the truth, and he knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his message were written in their books, and they were given the glad tidings. He and a few of the Jews accepted that in Medina, and in that there is a sign to them from their learned scholars. So anyone who disbelieves in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the advent of his message, then truly he didn't believe even in his own messenger. And therefore the Jews and the Christians and the Sabians who are present today, if they claim that they are believers in Allah and in the last day, and they do righteously, then we tell them, هَذَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ, this does not benefit you, because the belief in Allah and in the last day necessitates believing in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And righteous deeds cannot be righteous truly except by following the Sharia, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in legislations and in the religion as a whole. From the benefits also. And from the benefits also, that reward is not affirmed except when the action is righteous. And the action in itself cannot be righteous except when two conditions are fulfilled. Number one, sincerity to Allah. Secondly, following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyone who does any action comprising anything of shirk, then his action is not righteous and not acceptable to Allah. Listen to this great verse which we recite every Friday when we read Surah Al-Kahf 18:110. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Say, O Muhammad, I am only a man like you. It has been inspired to me that your God, Allah, is one. So whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, look at this, let him work righteousness and associate none as a partner in the worship of his Lord. And therefore, anyone who worships Allah to show off people, anyone who worships Allah to show off, this is not acceptable from him. Because it is not righteous deeds. But here there is a problem which many people really face. Many people say, whenever I want to do righteous deed, shaitan comes to me, the devil, and says, you are a man who intends to show off. And thus, he causes me to abandon the good I intended to do. What is the solution for this mushkila, for this problem? The answer is to say, is that you seek refuge in Allah from the accursed devil, and that you cease concerning these whispers, and that you continue on your righteous deeds, giving no attention to what he wants to inspire in your heart, that you are only intending to show off. And think this way, if someone asks you, are you trying to show off in this worship, you rush to say no. Idan, and thus, let not shaitan turn you off through his whispers. Continue on the righteous deeds. And don't give any attention to his whispers. This is one situation. Another situation, some people complain, is that they enter into the action of worship clean from any kind of show off. Then, during the worship itself, he begins to show off. What's the solution for this? The answer, he should also exert the effort in expelling this thought and come forward on the worship, turning away from the inspirations or whispers of shaitan, what the shaitan wants to throw in his heart. And if he repels this show off, then it's not going to harm him and it's not going to affect his worship. And from the benefits we learn in these verses is that the action cannot be in accordance with the Sharia, even though it may be done with pure intention, without any shirk. If it is not in accordance with the Sharia, it's not acceptable. Even though the intention is good and pure. Because the Messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone who does an action which is not in accordance with our way will have it rejected. And accordingly, all the innovated forms of worship which people practice, despite how much they can reach and despite how much they can influence the heart and cause the eyes to shed tears, this does not benefit them with Allah, because it is not on the way of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear in 6:53 in Surah Al-An'am, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. And this is my straight path, follow it. And don't follow the other paths which would lead you away from his path. Therefore, any person who worships Allah, either by saying or by action, he should have the evidence, the dalil, that this worship is confirmed from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, his deeds will be in vain and even will be against him, because he invented in religion that which is not part of it, innovated. Because he innovated in the religion of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And be aware, don't indulge in the innovated matters, because every innovated matter in religion is an innovation. Every novelty in the religion is an innovation. And every innovation is a misguidance. And no matter how the innovations are beautified in one's sight, it is, however, bad. It is, however, bad. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a very comprehensive term. He said, "Kullu bid'atin dalala." Every innovation in religion is a misguidance. And he didn't exclude any particular one. And the innovations, even though they are looked upon to be good in the hearts of the innovators or those who practice them, they are evil. They split the people concerning the religion of Allah and will make each group denouncing the other. And each party would be happy with what he got. as it is the reality in our times. When these innovations spread in the Muslim world, and from some long time, the Muslim Ummah became divided. And on this occasion, the Shaykh Rahimahullah gave an advice to the Muslims, is to be keen to check their actions and find them that they are according to the Sharia of Allah on the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his guidance is the best of guidance, and anything that goes off this path of the Prophet's guidance, then it is misguidance and affliction and an innovation. And I also call upon them to be keen in terms of the intentions, of their purity of intentions, making that purely for Allah, not indulging in acts of worship in order to show off, because creation does not benefit. The only one who benefits us is our Creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the points of benefits is that faith, belief and righteous deeds expel fear and expel grief in this life and in the hereafter. And that's why the believers who act righteously, you find them in a state of tranquility. Their hearts opened and relaxed, easy, tranquil, peaceful. And that's why some of the righteous predecessors said the following beautiful statement: لو يعلم الملوك وأبناء الملوك ما نحن فيه لجالدونا عليه بالسيوف. If the kings and the sons of kings only knew what is the state of our affairs, they would have fought us for that with their swords. On this note, I will stop inshallah ta'ala. All of these benefits were some of them asserted earlier, but more of them alhamdulillah were discussed today, and then you can add them to these verses from 62, particularly verse 62. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Okay, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We continue from the points of benefits from verses 63 and 64. Verses 63 and 64. From these verses, we know that it is incumbent upon the believer to hold firmly to the Sharia of Allah without any laxing or weakness. Because if man is to face the commands of Allah with weakness and laxing, then as a consequence, Shaitan, the devil, will take hold of him to the degree that he will make him abandon this command totally. Concerning being lax or towards the commands of Allah, this is of two types. Number one, being lazy to perform the obligatory acts, and lax towards the recommended acts, accordingly his faith will diminish because of that. The other form is weakness in abandoning the prohibition or the prohibited matters, such that the person weakens before the driving lust and desire, lowly desire, in order to commit sin. So he cannot stand to face his own lowly desires, he will weaken. And that will lead him to abandoning the prohibitions. And from the benefits is affirming the favors of Allah and the grace on the children of Israel. And they are so many. However, they are ungrateful people. They used to describe Allah far above. Is He above their descriptions? They used to say that the hand of Allah, or the hand of Allah, is tight, as in 564. وقالت اليهود يد الله مغلولة غلت أيديهم ولعنوا بما قالوا بل يداه مبسوطتان ينفق كيف يشاء. And the Jews said that Allah's hand is tied up. Be their hands tied up, and be they accursed for what they uttered. Nay, both his hands are widely outstretched. He spends of his bounty as he wills. They also described Allah by being poor, with poverty, as in chapter 3, verse 181, 182. Let's have them, inshallah, slowly. سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. 181. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of those Jews who say, truly Allah is poor and we are rich. We shall record what they have said and their killing of the prophets unjustly. And we shall say, taste you the torment of the burning fire. This is because of that evil which your hands have sent before you. And Allah is never unjust to his slaves. And from the benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned them into monkeys. And from this we deduce another benefit, that those who say that the origin of mankind is in monkeys, that they are lying. Those who say that man developed from monkeys until they became human, this is lying. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man a monkey when he punished him for opposing his command. And the other thing is, the verses in the Quran and the authentic narrations are explicit that Adam was created from dust, and this is the consensus of the Muslims. No two differ on this. Therefore, anyone who believes that the origin of the children of Adam is from monkeys, then he is belying the Book of Allah and the Sunnah and the consensus of the Muslims. And if he utters this due to ignorance, having lived in an environment which doesn't know except of this concept, then in this case he is to be taught. If he insists on this, he becomes a kafir. And if he utters this, not due to ignorance, such that he lives in the land of Muslims who recite the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then in this case he becomes a kafir in his utterance that the children of Adam, their origin is in the monkeys, because this is belying, clear belying to that which is known from the religion by necessity and from the benefits. These are additional ones, that piety, at-taqwa, has many benefits to it. From this is admonition, and we detailed some of that concerning the universal signs and the legal signs of Allah. And there are more benefits that came in the Quran in relation to taqwa. From this is, number one, that taqwa, piety, leads to easing of affairs, making them easy. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. This is in Surah At-Talaq 65 verse 4. And whoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, look at this, he will make his matter easy for him. And from the benefits is that taqwa leads to easing of difficulties and hardships, as in the same surah 65:2-3. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And whoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, he will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty. Not only that, and will provide him provisions from that which he never even thought of. Provide him from sources he never could imagine. And from the benefits of taqwa is that it is, or it leads to guidance and light. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal 8:29, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Oh, you believe, if you obey and fear Allah, He will grant you a criteria. Look at this. Please contemplate this. This is a great help for those who are seeking the truth. If we fear Allah and obey Him, Allah will grant you a criteria to judge between right and wrong, or makhraj, making a way for you to get out from every difficulty, and will expiate you for you your sins and forgive you. And Allah is the owner of great bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If these are from the benefits of taqwa, then it is incumbent upon the sensible person to give them heed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from al-muttaqeen. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So these are additional benefits for verses 63 to 66. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.